This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today I have a very special guest, Liz Shafiroff. And she has globalstrays.org. It's a wonderful organization. And we're going to talk all about it and what you could do to help and some things that might very well interest you. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, we're back. Welcome, Liz. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today, Cheryl.
So your organization is a nonprofit. You do wonderful things around the world. Tell me how you got started with this.
Sure. So I got started when, you know, I never had pets growing up, but in my 20s, I rescued a dog and, you know, I started doing animal rescue. I volunteered at Animal Care and Control in New York City for about 5-10 years while I was with them, actually for only about a year or two, but I was doing other rescue with other animal rescues in New York. And then I took a trip to Costa Rica and I was astonished that I'm the type of person that likes to explore. So I don't just stay in the confines of the resort. I want to see what's going on. At that time, I was also beginning a career as a photojournalist in New York City. So I went out and explored and there were stray animals everywhere. And I ended up helping an animal over there. And one of the guys I met over there said, if you think this is bad, go to Nicaragua. And so that's exactly what I did on my next trip, which was not that much after. I went to Nicaragua and everywhere there were, you know, stray animals dying of dehydration and illness. And, you know, it's not different than the U.S. in the way that we have an overpopulation crisis in the U.S. as well. It's just different because you see more of it in some of these other countries. Like in Nicaragua, you know, they're kind of everywhere and they don't take them to a shelter. A lot of these people, I mean, there are shelters. So I went back to New York and I said, no, I want to do something different. I love the rescue in New York. I love the rescue. But so I'm going to go back to Nicaragua and I'm going to see what's going on. And so I went back. I didn't think there'd be anyone helping animals. I really didn't. And Nicaragua is a very poverty-stricken country. And so, you know, I didn't expect that animals were something that people had on their radar. And I was wrong. I went and I met with animal rescue organizations in Nicaragua. And I was shocked by how many people wanted to help. And they had their own shelters, but it was different from what you consider an animal shelter in the United States, right? It was someone had a piece of land and here are all the animals, maybe 100 animals. Maybe they have little beds and little areas, but it's not like an animal shelter you would go to in the U.S. with, you know, kennels and everything like that, a little bit different. These rescuers really wanted to help, but they had no donations. Zero. I mean, very few to none. I mean, there was no support coming in for these people. And so that's what it hit me. It's like, well, these animals matter too. And I want to help here because I don't think there's any help here. I do think that there's need everywhere, right? And there's no one area that's more important. But why not here? What's different? And so I established relationships with these rescuers. I started Global Strays to support these animal shelters. I had to get to know them. I went back to Nicaragua several times. And so that's how it kind of started. When I came back home, I couldn't not think about what I saw. It was too upsetting for me.
Yeah, because, you know, in Puerto Rico, there was Dead Dog Beach.
Now, right.
I think after the hurricanes, that's gone. But then in Turks and Caicos, there were dogs. Then they were the pot cakes.
Yeah.
That's when they make the dough, and whatever left, they would throw to the dogs. And then, you know, you see online sometimes, like what you said, land with hundreds and hundreds of dogs, and the guy pulls up with the truck. Maybe he's got some kibble, and they wait for him every day. And then maybe, you know, there's a lot of rescues that have started in the States that really aren't rescues. They're people who just want to collect $400 and they'll give anybody a dog, and they're bringing them in. I mean, that's what happened. That's what I found, because, you know, me with my show, before I got my Tilly, I wanted to get a foster, and I wanted to go to a rescue or, you know, a foster. And a lot of these people, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, they give animals to people that really shouldn't have that particular animal. You know, they're not equipped for that particular. Maybe the animal is, you know, too big for them or too powerful, and they're older or weaker, but they fall through the cracks. But because of what's happening now with animals, and people are realizing that they really are part of us, they are part of the family. They're not just sitting by the fireplace anymore. They really are. For me, my dog is my other. She's my companion. It's a much different relationship than I had when I was growing up with dogs. And then I went to cats because they were easier. But the resources are thin for a lot of places, you know, and this is a wonderful thing you're doing. So tell us all about it, how you're doing this, because you're also education, right?
Yeah. So what I noticed after about a year or two was that it wasn't just about helping these animal shelters. I work very closely with the heads of those shelters. It started in Nicaragua. We've expanded. But they would speak to me about the need in these underserved, impoverished communities where people did not have, they didn't have any money to be able to go spay and neuter their dogs. They didn't have maybe education on the proper care of animals, on how to animal welfare education around compassion. There were a lot of things in these areas that were missing. It was knowledge and resources. And so we decided to expand Global Strays to include, we would go into a community with a spay and neuter team, veterinarians. We started teaming up with veterinarians, and they would do spay and neuter clinics. We stayed in one area, but the area was Jinotepe in Nicaragua, but we would go to community and community. We wouldn't leave that community until we felt that the majority of the animals there were spayed, whether they were owned or strays. And the importance in these countries, they have their dogs, people keep their dogs outside, in not everyone, but in a country like Nicaragua, the majority of people, the dogs come and go, they're outside. And so if they're not spayed and neutered, they're just going to make more and more puppies. And that's why the overpopulation is so bad in some of these countries. And, you know, they don't have animal control. And so it's just about these shelters. And so we started our community-based programs for spay and neuter clinics. And we focus in one area because we want to see impact. So if we did 100 animals that weekend, and then we might go back to the next community in 2 weeks to do another 100 animals. And then once that specific area, we feel that everyone showed up to our clinic, then we can move on to another area nearby. And then we decided that it was about education. So we began our own educational curriculum based on the 5 freedoms of animal welfare. And we teach kids in workshops now in Bogota, Colombia, Nicaragua. And we have a program also for humane education in Liberia, Africa. And we teach children, you know, the 5 freedoms: freedom from hunger and thirst, freedom from discomfort and pain, freedom from illness and disease. And so we teach them what basic needs of an animal are, whether that's a dog or a cat, or, you know, it can be another type of animal too. It's not just specific to dogs and cats, but we find these education programs to be really great. And the organization we just teamed up in Liberia, Africa, They are extremely impressive. And they were doing a program in a very rural area of Liberia, Africa. And I knew their organization many years before we brought them on as a partner. And I told Mars Darbo, the head of Liberia Animal Welfare and Conservation Society, Mars, you're doing such great work with animal education for kids in Lofa. And it seems like your entire village knows how to treat animals very well. Why don't we move this program? Let's partner up, but let's move this program to the capital city of Monrovia, where there's none of the kids have had animal welfare education. So we are now in our third year of the program, and we are in 10 schools every year in Monrovia and all age levels. And so we've partnered with Liberia Animal Welfare and Conservation Society Global Strays. We have our educators that we help to make this program possible in Monrovia. And we do 4,000 children a year, educate them. And some of these children bring back the knowledge to their parents. Let me tell you a story, Cheryl. There's a family, and certain families in Liberia, they sell their pet dog to someone who then consumes them for food.
Okay.
So I actually found that it's more of a delicacy than an economic thing. Certain people like to eat that type of meat. And so one of our students in Monrovia came home and told his mom about what he learned and said, "I do not want you selling Binko. Oh, let's not sell him. You know, I love him." And so the mother completely changed and told her son that "I will not sell him." And they're not just not selling them. They now, for the first time in their lives, they're viewing this dog, that Binko, as a companion, as part of the family.
Wonderful.
This is not happening otherwise in some of these countries. They do not look at dogs and cats as companion animals. In fact, in Liberia, Africa, another myth we're trying to dispel in our education workshops is that cats are witches and have evil. And so they stone cats. And so we are working hard with our team to change that myth and explain that that is not okay. And the reason why is because they have feelings like humans, right? And they're capable of sadness, happiness, and that it, you know, we try to debunk these myths, these long-held notions.
Where do the vets come from, the veterinarians?
All of them are local to the country. We are in the position of helping the people where they are. And the reason why is because they're the ones that need to do the work when we're not there. And so we support and empower local veterinarians, animal welfare professionals on the grounds in the country they work so that they can do better work, more of it, and continue what they're doing, even if I'm not physically there.
But they're not adopting like we know of adoption.
In which country?
In some of these countries, you know, they go to a shelter, they find...
They do. No, they do. Not in Liberia, but in Nicaragua and Colombia, absolutely. South and Central America, people do adopt. They've caught on. They do adopt. So that's why we support these animal shelters, Global Strays as well. People adopt from them, from the shelters. Certain countries, this notion is not so common, Liberia and other parts of Africa. Maybe that hasn't caught on yet there. But I guess it depends where you are. But definitely in Nicaragua and Colombia and Bogota, a lot of people are adopting.
What do you think? Well, where are you located?
Right now, I'm located in Texas. And so that's where I moved from New York to Texas. And a big reason with that was I wanted to have animals. I wanted to have land. And that wasn't really affordable in New York State. And so... I wanted to go where it was warm.
You want to live in Central Park.
And I didn't want to get like, my neighbor in Brooklyn saying, "What do you have back there? An animal farm?"
Right. What? Your dog's barking.
Yeah, your dog's barking. This is not a kennel.
How do you think the shelters in Texas are? Because a lot of the dogs that are rotated throughout the country when they're in a shelter too long are moved from Texas. Like, if the dog is there maybe 8 months, there are some dogs that have been in a shelter for a year. They have to be moved because it's obvious that dog is not registering with the public there. So if they move them maybe to the East Coast, maybe somebody will fall in love.
Correct. And a lot of organizations are doing that. The kill rates, the euthanasia rates in Texas are very high. And so we just got registered in the state of Texas, and we have met with the organization about doing mobile spay and neuter clinics, helping them in San Antonio, because at the kill shelter in San Antonio, Texas, they're euthanizing too many animals.
It's very, very sad.
It's very sad. And I think it's important to consider where these animals are coming from and why there are so many coming into our shelters. And I think until nonprofits and the government and our people start to really tackle that, I do believe that we need, obviously, rescue fostering is so, so important. Don't get me wrong. But I think we have to look at the other side, too, and consider why are there so many animals and where are they coming from and what can be done? I don't have the exact answer to that.
They're breeding. They're not getting their animals.
Exactly. And I always wonder why. Why hasn't breeding laws ever been addressed?
It's true. Well, they breed them probably for backyard, you know, fights.
Yeah, well, not necessarily for backyard fights. They breed them to sell the puppies to get, you know, to make some money. But why don't we look at, you know, why does the government, it's not easy. Because once you pass a law, you have to enforce it. But nothing has ever been passed anywhere in this country. Maybe in certain states, but not.
Got rid of, you know, puppies, you know, in the malls being sold. They did get that.
And I'm also talking about puppy mills. They're doing great with that. But I mean, also going after some of these backyard breeders, which could be puppy mills. I think there's a lot of overlap there. So,
you know, every once in a while you hear about they went into a house and there were 40 dogs there or puppies or whatever. But I mean, I see it at my dog park. These oodle doodles, which are beautiful dogs, don't get me wrong. Very smart. They come in all shapes and sizes. They're mixed with everything. But they're designer dogs. And then every once in a while, you see somebody's allergic. Maybe not for them because they got the poodle in them. But, you know, even our shelters here. And I have a friend in Denver. You know, he left one shelter where he thought, you know, they were putting down too many dogs for the wrong reasons. You know, these dogs need to get out of their pen. They need to be exercised so their personality comes out, so when people come to see them, they could really maybe relate to them. I know when I met Tilly, they asked me if I wanted to meet her outside, and it was great. I don't think she was there that long, but there are some dogs in these shelters for months and months and months, and that's just not right.
Yeah, or they only are in there for 48 hours.
Right, or somebody adopts a dog on Saturday, and guess what? On Monday, they bring the dog back. They are not vetting people properly. Nobody should bring a dog back after 3 days. I mean, they're going to poop, they're going to pee in your house. They don't know anything. Some of these dogs never lived inside before.
Yeah, and there's a decompression period. It can be anywhere from a few weeks to a few months. And people need to understand that, you know, if they really want to rescue, they have to understand that, you know, these dogs have been through a lot.
I've always heard 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months before a dog truly knows their home. And I saw it with my dog. You know, after a certain period of time, she knew exactly how to get to my apartment door. She knew exactly where to go. I mean, you know, now she's got more friends than Carter has pills in our neighborhood. I mean, they actually stop, roll the window down and go, "Hi, Tilly." Forget me. Because, you know, people, if you want to have friends, get a dog. Because you will meet so many like-minded people, and it's just an icebreaker. You know, what's your dog's name? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It really is a wonderful thing. So how could our listeners help you?
Well, I mean, of course, we're approaching the end of year giving season, and so we would love your help with our, you know, animal education programs and our spay and neuter programs. We're helping individual animals with veterinarian care at these shelters.
Maybe we could do a virtual adopt a pet, and that pet could get the care that they need.
You mean like a sponsor a pet?
Yeah, something that they feel like they have. They're part of it. They did something. They made difference.
Right. And we do have pets that are at these shelters where we help that are available for sponsorship. And so that's one thing that can be done. There are some people sponsoring some of these animals. But if you, we would love if you wanted to go to globalstrays.org and or our social media on Instagram is Global Strays, and just take a look at our work and see if it resonates with you. And if it resonates with you, I can tell you that in 2023, 95% of our expenses went to our programs.
That's wonderful.
95%. So we have people receiving part-time salaries for our staff, but we're a very, very small organization. And the majority is going to the programs.
Nobody gets into this to make money. Let's put it.
Yeah, exactly. No one gets into this to make money. And even though they should, you know, I still do believe this is a whole nother topic that nonprofits need to invest in things that businesses do, like marketing and all. But that's a whole nother topic. And I feel that way because how else do they
know about it?
They be able to grow.
That's true.
You know?
You'll provide us with any link that will add to the show when we put it out. And you'll let us know because we're worldwide.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
But anybody who's listening, it's already an in because obviously they're interested in animals.
Yes, yes. And there's other ways you can get involved. You know, we have remote opportunities if you want to volunteer. So there's other ways people can get involved if they're really passionate about international animal welfare.
Maybe somebody in Colombia will contact you after listening and, you know, say, how can
I? Yeah. And we're globalstrays.org /donate. If you want to make a donation or if you want to just get in touch, you can email me at liz@globalstrays.org. If you have any questions, if you need advice, I love to, it's not just, people want to help wherever they are in the world. And that's what Global Strays is about. We really just want to be there for pet lovers, any part of the world, and people that want to help where they are.
I mean, you really got a good name. I can't believe nobody has snatched that name before.
Yeah, well.
Great.
It's a good one.
It was waiting for you.
But yeah, and to thank you for your time. And
my pleasure. Now I want to talk about the multi-bucket list. That is such fun.
Oh, yes, yes. The bucket list. And we're hoping that the bucket list was just an idea we had to come up with, you know, the pet bucket list, you know, taking your pet to a national park, going camping with your pet, going on a kayak and putting your, you know, things that you want to do with your pet in the short time that we have these amazing, amazing creatures in our lives.
Great idea, because, you know, they really do enjoy when you set aside and do something special for them. Because I see it with my dog. She has a best friend in my neighborhood. And even going to a day spa, you know, when you have something to do and you can't watch them, and getting a bath together. And, you know, it's like girlfriends, you know, it's such fun. But it's true, you know, going to the park or going camping or on a long walk or going to the beach. These could be wonderful things. And if they share it with other animals, plus their owners, their companions, their others, it could be a lot of fun. Good memories, really. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So we just like to encourage animal pet owners to be active with their pets and make sure they're included as much as possible. And I know everyone's lives are really busy, but, you know, I really think that kind of a consistent schedule where the animal feels like they're stimulated mentally and physically is very important.
Very, very. Really, I have Tilly in the Aging Dog Project, which monitors them throughout their lives. You know, she just turned 3, so it's a good time.
Oh.
And they always send me kind of activities to try with her. You know, you got to keep them engaged. You know, there's no sitting on the couch or by the fireplace anymore. Dogs are active. They keep us active. That's the key.
Yeah.
I walk about 20,000 to 23,000 steps a day with my dog.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I'm involved with Cancer Society, you know, 31 miles. And it's fun. and you feel like you're doing something good. So for all of our listeners, we want to thank Liz for coming on, and maybe you'll come up with some ideas in your own area for something, or contact Liz or contact me. And, you know, maybe we can make a difference, because they give us all the best years of their lives, the best days. It's a wonderful thing to have an animal, whether it's a cat, it's a goat, it's a horse, it's a dog. They're our buddies. It's great. I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank Mark, my producer. I want to thank
Tilly. Thank you, Mark.
I want to thank Tilly for being the best dog sometimes. And I want to thank my listeners, and remember to live life unleashed, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. See ya.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.